Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd like to thank Giriraj Swami, His Holiness Giriraj Swami, for very kindly inviting me, giving me the chance to have all this association and and purify myself by glorifying Prabhupada's great devotee, Swami Krishna Goswami. So I've told all my personal TKG anecdotes so many times that I won't punish you by repeating them here. But you all heard them so many times. But what I do want to talk about is Tamal Krishna's role in history. Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was the first, of course, well, one story. He was the first away to chastise me. a distinction I share with probably many other devotees. But when I was, in 1969, I was home from Berkeley for the summer, and I lived in L.A., and I was visiting the L.A. temples, first temple I ever went to, and the devotees were preaching to me, and I was sort of like a really good prospect, because I loved prasadam, I loved the devotees, loved the philosophy. And so, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was, if you know car sales terminology, he was the closer. That, you know, the other salesmen get as far as they can with the prospect, and then they bring in the closer. And actually, my mother, I used to drive my mother's dark green Dodge Dart over to the temple. And then they go out and they always go on Harinam, and I used to drive Tamal Krishna and Vishnujana and other great devotees, my mother's car, and drive them out to Hollywood Boulevard for Harinam. So after I'd been visiting for a while, and TKG saw that I was, you know, a good prospect, we were having prasadam one time. He sat down beside me, and he said, "So, you like this Krishna consciousness?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And then he said, "So you're going to join us here, right?" So then I told him that I was from LA, my family was all there, and it was just, you know, everything would just go up in a big mushroom cloud if I joined the Hare Krishna movement in LA. It was way too much. So he was kind of planning to go back to school to Berkeley and join there, and so he didn't like that because, you know, he was from LA temple. So he just looked at me and said, "That is duality." And that was being sort of a, you know, wine to die is the first time a devotee really. Anyway, so, but I want to get to the real historical points. Tamal Krishna Goswami, I'm sure historians will notice, was by far one of Prabhupada's most important disciples in establishing the Hare Krishna movement all around the world. In fact, his accomplishments are monumental. He practically invented traveling sankirtan. And if you study the sociology of sedentary populations with like sort of semi-nomadic or nomadic peoples, it's when you have settled populations, you get like a lot of culture and development of society, but at the same time there's a certain dullness, and then the people traveling around have a certain energy. Like in the Muslim world, the Arab world, they always have this tension between the Bedouins and the settled people in places like Baghdad. So the Hare Krishna movement was going on, it was going nicely, but there was a certain sedentariness about it. We have temples, we go every day and come home. And when Tamal Krishna Goswami had this idea of traveling and preaching, it injected into the Hare Krishna movement an energy which it never had before. Just the fact of going out and distributing books, and even in the city Harinam, like in L.A., he organized it. Of course, he had Tamal Vishnujan there, you know, the first great ISKCON rock star. And so Tamal Krishna organized it, and it just became powerful. He was the first one that really brought sort of like serious professionalism and organization to the spreading of Krishna consciousness, which pleased Prabhupada very much. So he organized the Harinam parties to a level they'd never been before. It was like really serious. You go out there, you sell literature, you chant, and then you go out and travel. So after really transforming, you could say, North America, in terms of putting so much more energy into it and just revealing that you can actually be like super organized and efficient and determined in preaching instead of just like going out and giving people little flowers. And so then Prabhupada sent him to Europe. And again, those three, that's one of the most famous stories in ISKCON history. The three householder couples that went to London and met the Beatles and other musical groups and just Prabhupada used to love to quote that newspaper headline that Hare Krishna startles London. because for Prabhupada, I mean, to understand how Prabhupada saw England and how revolutionary it was for Prabhupada to come to America, Prabhupada lived the first, you would say, maybe 52 years of his life as under the British crown. Prabhupada was already almost into his mid-50s before India became a sovereign country. So Prabhupada grew up in a world in which London, Prabhupada grew up in a London-centric world. And that's why all of his godbrothers, whenever they, you know, to go to the West, meant to go to London. There was no other going to the West. And so it shows how revolutionary Prabhupada was in going to New York. He realized the world had changed after World War II. But still, London was still London, and it still is. It still is definitely one of the world's greatest cities. And so he sent these three householders. They did this magnificent job, which is, again, one of the most famous stories in ISKCON history. But then TKG came. And it came, and again, when Samal Krishna came, it just brought it to another level in terms of organization and efficiency and preaching and Sankirtan and so on. So after doing, and then he went around Europe. He became Prabhupada's regional secretary for Europe, for GBC, and in Germany and everywhere. He went all over Europe, and then Prabhupada went to India, and so Tamal Krishna became Prabhupada's GBC in India. Tamal Krishna was he was Prabhupada's number one assistant as Prabhupada personally opened up India. And then, of course, he opened up China. And I don't really know, I mean, I don't know if anyone else could have done it. Looking at sort of the roster, even like our starting lineup, you know, the ISKCON Sankirtan A team back then, I don't know if anyone else had the unique set of skills of a just brilliant, really just brilliant organizational abilities and relentless determination and complete loyalty to Prabhupada. It was just sort of a unique skill set. And qualities, and so he opened up China, which I really don't think anyone else could have done. So, I mean, if you think about it, you know, sort of organizing and energizing to a new level North America, and then Europe, and then India, and then China. Tamal Krishna Goswami really made a contribution to ISKCON, which would be very difficult to duplicate as Prabhupada's faithful servant. So, there's that aspect which is so important, his sort of unique level of energy, organizational abilities, determination, and so he proved that he could master the art of spreading the Sankirtan movement literally in every part of the world. And then, but another aspect which I want to talk about briefly is, before I go back and eat more, is and this is connected to the first set of qualities I just talked about, his genius for innovation without deviation. Because if you, and there's a story that Prabhupada, that Giriraj Swami told me, if I could just mention it again, many of you probably heard it. Giriraj had an experience with Prabhupada, which I think is, which I always tell that story. I think it's, it's of inestimable importance what Prabhupada said to Giriraj toward the end of Prabhupada's life here. And if I get any details wrong, please correct me. And that is, toward the end of Prabhupada's appearance in this world, Giriraj Swami was in Vrindavan to be with Prabhupada, and in the middle of the night, like you told me, Prabhupada called him. And so naturally, you know, Prabhupada's condition was precarious. Giriraj is called in the middle of the night, so he rushed to Prabhupada's room. And as I remember, you sat there sort of in this dark candlelit room waiting to find out why you had been called, and Prabhupada called you up and then whispered into your ear, because he didn't have much strength then. And he said, "When I am gone, will this movement go on?" And as if I remember correctly, Giriraj, the way he puts it, sort of gave the company answer, you know, is, "Yes, Prabhupada, if we chant Hare Krishna and follow the principles." And then Prabhupada indicated that something more was needed, and Prabhupada said, "There also must be intelligence and organization." Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I tell that story a lot, and so I think it's a very important story, and one which really sheds light on the greatness of Tamal Krishna Goswami. Because there is a false understanding that human beings tend to slip into. And when they slip into it completely, when they become completely overwhelmed by this false understanding, it manifests as a so-called path called Karma Mimamsa. And if you look at Karma Mimamsa, the idea that if you just do the rituals, you'll get the results, the underlying assumption, the underlying false assumption of Karma Mimamsa is that the universe, reality itself, is essentially mechanistic. So that life is simply a mechanism. And if you master the mechanics of life, you can get what you want. And let's say things like devotion, like loving relationships with a deity, are really not necessary. In fact, I remember when I was at Harvard, I was reading in one Sanskrit class, we read a Mimamsa book in Sanskrit. And the Mimamsas were kind of like obsessive categorizers, so that they were ritualists, so that in the ritual everything goes in a certain category, and even linguistically everything has categories. And so in the Mimamsa system, the deity, like a god, either, you know, God, capital G, or the gods, are in the same ritual category as, for example, milk cups. In other words, in a Vedic sacrifice, you know, you put all this paraphernalia out, and there's five kinds of this, and five kinds of coupons. I'm just kidding. And so you have these little cups where you put milk products and so on. And so that's paraphernalia. It's like the spoon, the cups, the firewood, just the physical, what's called in Sanskrit, dravya. And by the way, that's why Krishna says, I think in chapter 4, that better than a sacrifice, which is just dravya, offering, you know, ritually offering physical things, is a sacrifice where you give your consciousness to me and agree to see the world as I see it. But anyway, so the Mimamsa feel that the deity is just like the spoon. I mean, it has the same spiritual significance. It's just paraphernalia. It's like, imagine, this is their thinking, and this relates to, I think, and ultimately this is going towards the genius of Tamal Krishna Goswami. If you, let's say you go to get a, let's say you're going to mail a letter, and you go to the post office, and you pay the money, and you wait in line, the postal clerk, if he or she is not already busy engaged in serial killing, the postal clerk has a duty to actually put a stamp on the letter and mail it. You don't have to, if the postal clerk says, well, be nice to me, or do you like me? Before I mail your letter, tell me if you like me. There's no question of that. It's just a clerk. You know, well, in India they call it the postal peon. So the Mimamsas feel that the gods are simply cosmic clerks. They are just clerks. You wait in line, you pay the money, they have to give you what you order. They have no discretionary powers like a postal clerk. You wait in line, behave properly, pay your money, put the stamp on, they have to deliver the letter. And so there's a tendency, I mean, this bizarre philosophy, although it's not, I mean, it's just taking something to an extreme so you can see it clearly. But even there's a tendency for us in bhakti yoga to believe that if I just follow all the principles and do everything, show up on time at the programs, I will go back to Godhead. And there's a tendency, we can actually sort of in our mind mechanize bhakti yoga. And that's why Rupa Goswami, in his Upadeshamrita, says that one of the causes of fall down is niyamagraha, which either means niyama agraha, and graha, we still have an English grasp. So niyama agraha, not grasping or not accepting the niyama, the rules, or niyama agraha, which in Sanskrit in this case is an intensifying preposition, as you know. So agraha means intensely taking, like taking it as an end in itself. So if we don't follow the rules, or think the rules are not only necessary, but sufficient, not only necessary, but sufficient, that's a cause of fall down. And you end up the same as not following the rules. So, because there's a tendency for us, because we want to lord it over this world, and the way human beings lord it over anything is by figuring out how it works, what are the moving parts, and then control it. Figure out the mechanism of anything, whether it's a relationship, other people, a religious process, master the mechanism and control it. And so, in that sort of like that mechanistic mood, it can also lead to a certain dullness, so that we have a certain thing we do in the Hare Krishna movement, that's just what we do. And if the public is voting with their feet and not coming, if we're not really saving the world, we're not changing the world, this is just what we do. So we get locked into this mechanism, and well, we're going back to Godhead, and if they're not going, it's just because, you know, they're creeps. They're karmic creeps. And so, but Tamal Krishna, if you think about it, he had a life not only of being completely faithful to Prabhupada, but of brilliant innovation. I mean, inventing traveling Sankirtan, although it's not talked about so much, I think from a historian's point of view, is an extraordinary contribution. It's a complete game changer, the fact that he started that and just really showed everyone how to be efficient and professional in Sankirtan. And then going to Europe and India, he had to completely shift gears. Because in India, what worked in terms of preaching, of course, Giriraj is one of the greatest, all-time greatest preachers in India, who was, I mean, a legend in his own time, absolutely. He was, I mean, Giriraj was famous. I remember we were on the Boston Commons together as brahmacharis, and, you know, we both go out and with Back to Godhead magazine, and he'd collect about $85, and I'd collect about $8.50. So he was, I used to joke back then, I used to say he's every mother's son. He was just so nice and sweet and everything. And so, anyway, so when Giriraj Swami went to India, he was there was no one in all of ISKCON who was more successful there in preaching in that environment. And of course, Tamal Krishna was there as GBC, completely had to shift gears, completely different culture. And then he went to China. And so that's what's needed now. In a sense, my conclusion is, and this is how I want to end, I think what we really need now is the spirit of Tamal Krishna Goswami. In the sense that even when he went into academia, that's a whole story I won't tell now because I told it in Dallas how I somehow, you know, persuaded him to, or I was Krishna's instrument, really Krishna persuaded him to go back to college. But even then, in the last few months before he left us, he was we used to talk every month. And, you know, Tamal Krishna, he's great. You know, one week it was my dime, one week his dime. He started calling me because he wanted to talk to me like an hour a week. And he said, okay, next time you pay for it, you call. But the last talks we had, which were really great, he was determined that once he got his PhD, the next stage was, we've got to spread this. We've got to expand this. Just like once he understood Prabhupada's books, now everybody's got to get a book. And so he was talking about setting up an institute, a college. We discussed different possible venues. And of course, you know, Krishna had other, I'm sure, bigger and better plans for him. But the point here is that Tamal Krishna Goswami, whether it was China or Europe, America, India, anywhere, he didn't stop until he got the job done. He didn't stop until he got the job done. And when he went to China, he obviously had to, you know, it was like total ISKCON SWAT team, you know, special weapons and tactics. He had to again reinvent everything in China. And so this ability he had to stay completely faithful to Prabhupada and, you know, just stick tightly to Prabhupada's lotus feet, and at the same time, brilliant innovation and just getting the job done, whatever it takes. If he would have gone to China with all kinds of stereotyped notions of what you can do and not do, we still might not have a movement in China. Or if he, when he joined in California, if he just sort of gone along and tried to do what everybody else is doing, maybe just do it nicely, we might not have the Sankirtan movement we have. And so, remaining faithful to Prabhupada, his teachings and practice, his mission, ISKCON, I think we really have to remember Tamal Krishna, who he really was and what he did, because that spirit of Tamal Krishna, I mean, right now in America, you may not have noticed it, but we haven't quite yet taken over this country. There is still a few holdouts. So to make the Hare Krishna movement relevant again, not simply to have the satisfaction that I'm following the principles and I did the ritual right and I did this and I did that, and so if the world is not really understanding Krishna consciousness, if this country is not really accepting Prabhupada's mission as a major cultural and spiritual force, if that's not happening, what do? Just keep doing the same thing you were doing. And no matter how many times you do it, if it doesn't work, just do it again. And, you know, wait for the prophecies to be fulfilled, as the Christians say, in the fullness of time. And what I think is great about Tamal Krishna, he was absolutely not like that. If something didn't work, he tried something else, and he wouldn't stop until he got the job done for Prabhupada. And the job meant spreading the movement, making the Hare Krishna movement relevant, powerful in any part of the world he went to, in any environment. When he became a scholar, he was the darling of academia. It's funny, because Krishna gave me a different instruction, and I kind of did it in my Western clothes, as a devotee, Western clothes, but Tamal Krishna just, you know, got his shiniest, brightest, rock star silk dhoti, and he just completely, he charmed the socks off academia. He was the darling. He was like the Dalai Lama of Western academics. I mean, they loved him. They loved him, and he was, and he went to, you know, one of the best schools in the world, and then he wanted to expand it. That wasn't enough. He wanted to spread it all around the world. So at this point in America, how do we change this country? How do we make the Hare Krishna movement relevant again? How do we make major breakthroughs? That is the spirit of Tamal Krishna, actually, and that's what we need today. So I think if we all take shelter of his feet, as Tamal Krishna Goswami, as one of the greatest ever servants of Srila Prabhupada, we should pray to him and pray to Prabhupada and Krishna to somehow empower us to change the world. That was the spirit. Thank you very much. Yeah.